This is Kennedy Classics with Dr. D. James Kennedy. Welcome to Kennedy Classics.
Welcome to Kennedy Classics. I'm Jerry Newcomb.
And I'm Jennifer Cassidy. Tolerance is now considered our society's highest virtue. But what if those claiming to be tolerant are actually the most intolerant of all? On this program, we'll be investigating the so-called new tolerance.
How has the notion of tolerance been completely redefined, and how is it being used to silence your Christian beliefs? We'll uncover that on today's program, and you'll meet a young lady who even suffered death threats as a result of standing up for traditional marriage, and we'll share with you a new resource to help you navigate the murky waters of the new tolerance.
And I'm John Sorensen. Later in today's program, I'll tell you the great news about how you can be fully accepted by God.
My late father, as so often was the case, saw this coming long before most others did. In today's message, he uncovers the agenda that's really at play in the new tolerance.
Our scripture this morning is taken from the 5th chapter of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And may God speak to us from this brief reading of His holy word, and may His name ever be praised. Amen. I think it's important, like the groundhog, to every once in a while stick our heads up, look around, and find out what's going on. And in case some of you missed it, we just passed into a totally new age. We passed through the age of modernism. And we are now in the postmodern age. You may remember that modernism, rationalism, as it sometimes would call, the age of reason, is supposed to have begun, or at least dated, at the fall of the Bastille and the end of the tyranny of France. And it lasted until that new scientific, rationalistic world, no longer the age of faith, but now the age of reason and modernism, reached its pinnacle in the atheistic, scientific, evolutionary, socialistic USSR, the Soviet Union. And modernism, that age is dated to have ended with the collapse of the Berlin Wall in 89. So now we're in the postmodern age. I wonder how many of you noticed that. Did you miss that? Got to stick your head up more often and look around. For example, you might look around and find out what's being taught to your children. It's a new age, folks. It's altogether different. If you think things are the same as they were, have you got a surprise coming. Someone said that there's one thing that's being taught to our children today. From kindergarten through graduate school, there's one lesson that they're learning. It is the dominant theme of the postmodern curriculum. You know what it is? Tolerance. And teachers are being told how to teach it in every single subject. From history to literature to mathematics, the children are learning tolerance. You say, well, gee, that's wonderful. We're all in favor of tolerance. Of course we are. At least tolerance as we've always known tolerance to be. And the dictionary defines it for us. Tolerance is being willing to put up with, endure, bear with those whose views or lifestyles are different from yours without agreeing with them. And every Christian should be tolerant in the correct and historical meaning of that word. It's what the Bible means in the love chapter of 1 Corinthians 13, which says, love endureth all things. But if you think that's what is being taught in the curricula of this country, you are very wrong. The new tolerance means this. Not only do you put up with and endure and bear with those who have different views, habits, and or lifestyle than your own, but you agree with their views as well. Furthermore, you hold that their views are equally as valid and as true as your views. And furthermore, that their lifestyle is equally true and equally valid with your own. And therefore, there's no possible way that you could be intolerant because there's nothing to be intolerant of. And furthermore, you must even be willing to promote and endorse that other lifestyle, since it is every bit as good as yours. Now you say, well, that's a totally foreign ideology that I never even heard of it before. I guarantee your children have heard about it. They're hearing about it all the time. And you'll probably find out they've been hearing about it when they come home sometime and tell you that you're an ignorant bigot and that you're intolerant. Then you'll find out what they have been learning. Now, how can this be? Well, it begins with the idea that there is no absolute truth. Furthermore, there is a total concept of feeling that's involved in postmodernism. Postmodernism says that rationalism had failed. The modernist said, faith has failed, we must be rational. The postmodernist says, reason has failed, we must resort to feeling. And we have even invented a new civil right. And that is the civil right for my feelings not to be hurt. A young lady in one of the high schools recently sued. And she sued, I think, when they sang a song that had some religious words in it, one of our patriotic songs. And she said that hurt her feelings. The whole machinery stopped. The whole school ground to a halt. The courts moved into action. We cannot have anybody's feelings hurt. And part of postmodernism is this universal individual. We don't have countries, we don't have anything except the individual. There's no human race, there's just the individual and his feelings, and they must not be offended. And so they threw the whole thing out because her feelings were hurt. And so we have gone from a democracy, the government by the people, of the people, by the people, and for the people, the government by the sovereign individual. Or should I say more accurately, by the sovereign individual's feelings. Now, I'm sure that as I'm saying these things, there are instances that are leaping to your mind of times when you have run into this in talking with people about different things. You will more in the future. There is no truth. There are no moral absolutes. And the important thing is my feelings. This is why I have repeatedly said that tolerance is the last virtue of a depraved society. Tolerance is the last virtue of a depraved society. When you have an immoral society who has blatantly, proudly violated all of the commandments of God, there's one last virtue they insist upon: tolerance for their immorality. And they will not have you condemning what they have done as being wrong. And they've created a whole world construct in which it's not, and in which they are no longer the criminal or the villain or the evil person, but you are. And so they call evil good and good evil. And believe me, that's just the beginning. Now, my friends, Christianity is the most loving religion in the world. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, gave His life. God gives to us eternal life. God forgives us, and He urges us to love others, to love our friends, to love our enemies, to love even those that kill us. But Christianity is an absolute religion. And by the way, all of these strictures do not apply to other religions, only to Christianity, because that is the only absolute religion. You can belong to three or four of the other of the world religions at the same time. But God is a jealous God, and He will not have any other gods before Him. And all of the gods of the heathen, He says, are but idols. Idols! But God says, I am Jehovah. There's none like me. Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That statement alone could one day in America could have landed him in jail, because it is absolutist. Dear friends, for 40 years, I have urged this congregation to be faithful to the Great Commission of sharing the gospel with a needy world, a needy nation. Many of you have been indescribably faithful in doing that year after year, decade after decade. But even more of you, no way. You're going to find out what's at the end of the road of disobedience to the Great Commission. It's time that we stood up for Jesus Christ and showed some backbone while we still have a place to stand. May we stand. Father, oh God, the need is so great, the hour is late. Help us, we pray, to have the courage that Christ alone can give us, to be unafraid. He said, fear not, I am with you, I will never leave you. Oh God, we pray for America, that true religious liberty may again prevail, and that the truth of Christ may inundate this nation as never before. I pray this in His most holy name. Amen.
Perhaps you're watching this program and you find yourself agreeing with what Dr. Kennedy has shared today, but you've never actually invited Jesus Christ to come into your life and to be your Savior and Lord. You can do that today. Let me explain. In the Bible, we read that heaven is a free gift. It's not something that we can earn or deserve, because we also read that we are all sinners and fall terribly short of God's perfect standard. So we have a problem. But God solved our problem in the person of Jesus Christ, His only Son, who lived a perfect life and who died to pay the penalty for our sins. He purchased a place for us in heaven. He became the Savior who could take away our sins so that we can now have fellowship with an all-holy God. And we do this by transferring our trust from the things that we think are good enough to get us into heaven to what Jesus did on the cross. If this makes sense to you and you'd like to receive the free gift of eternal life and enjoy all the benefits that go along with that, we can go to God in prayer right now saying, Lord Jesus Christ, please forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me. Make me brand new. I gratefully accept the free gift of eternal life and place my trust in you and you alone from this day forward. Thank you for doing for me what I could not do for myself. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer sincerely from the heart, then let me be the first to say, welcome to the family of God. And we have a special gift for you as a brand new believer. It's the book, Beginning Again, written by Dr. D. James Kennedy, to help you grow in your newfound faith. To receive your copy, just write to our address or call our toll-free number or go online to truthinaction.org. God bless you as you do.
At one time, tolerance meant letting the other person have his or her view, but tolerance has now been redefined. As Dr. Kennedy just explained, the new tolerance requires us to endorse and support all views equally. It's now considered intolerant to express disapproval of someone's lifestyle or behavior, even if the Bible is clear on it.
But even this so-called new tolerance is applied quite selectively and unequally. One viewpoint in particular gets singled out for intolerance, the Christian viewpoint. You're about to meet a courageous young lady who found that out to the point of receiving death threats when she dared to speak out in favor of biblical marriage.
Sarah is our middle child, and the name Sarah means princess.
I like to play the piano. It's nice to be able to play songs I like, and I love to read.
Early the next morning, King Hezekiah gathered
we like officials together, and to read the Bible together and eat dinner together. We're a very close family.
My daughter got interested in the pageant when she read about it.
Her eyes started sparkling and her eyes lit up. And she said, I think this is something I'd like to do.
But when I get up on stage, I just feel totally at home and I just love it so much. And it's really fun.
Our local pageant system is a scholarship pageant. They focus on leadership qualities. Public speaking, confidence with that microphone in there, confidence in who you are as a person. And last year she was able to earn the crown for her division.
I was so excited. I actually started crying on stage because I'd worked so hard.
My husband and I feel very strongly about bringing our children up in a Christian environment, in a Christian home, and building a foundation of Christian values in their life.
Thank you, Jesus.
We always have family dinner together. I like to make that a discipline.
One night at dinner, my mom was talking about when the Senate was meeting, because she was going to testify.
We found out that the date of the public hearing on the marriage redefinition bill before the Maryland State Senate Committee was going to be on Sarah's birthday.
Any person is allowed to testify on an issue in the Senate. And I was always kind of like, oh, that would be cool to go do that. So then I realized it would be my birthday that year, and then I decided I really wanted to do that.
So she got on the computer, and I was really pleased with what she came up with.
It looked to me like what you'd expect from a 14-year-old girl, that mother, daddy, every child should have that. It's my birthday, kind of sweet innocence.
I remember just thinking how thrilling it is that we have this democratic process in America that everyone can have their say.
I went to testify with my friend, my good friend, and her mom.
My daughter testified the same day as Sarah, and it was a long day in which we were waiting for their turn to testify.
I was very nervous right before I went up to the podium. The podium was kind of tall, so I felt kind of small standing in front of it. So I just kind of reached deep inside me and pulled out my pageant smile and got confidence from that.
Hi, I'm Sarah Crank. Today is my 14th birthday, and it would be the best birthday present ever if you would vote no on gay marriage.
Sarah's testimony was very sweet, much like she is. She wanted to share with the people there that day how precious she thought marriage was.
People say that they were just born that way, but I've met really nice adults who did change. So please vote no on gay marriage. Thank you.
She came home and said, "Mom, there was somebody who asked for my name after it was over and said that he might put me in the Gazette paper." And I thought, okay.
Before I went to bed, I went ahead and went online just to check to see if they had posted anything.
Her testimony had been put up on a blog, and it was beginning to gain already a lot of attention. What I saw was an outpouring of hatred towards my daughter, such as I would have never thought possible. There were thousands and thousands of hateful, negative comments on these multiple blogs.
We were immediately started shielding our daughter from the profanity, the curses, and every now and then the death threats that were popping up. And some of the news coverage, the actual coverage from commentary writers, were outright direct attacks on my daughter. Why would somebody react like that to the thoughts and words of a 14-year-old child?
How have we arrived at this place where a simple statement that you're in favor of traditional marriage is seen as hatred and bigotry? Now come to this conclusion. We're dealing with an organized group of folk who have an agenda, and their agenda seems to be to force real acceptance.
It would have never occurred to me in a million years that they would think about publicly attacking a child.
When I was alone, I would kind of think about it. I think they didn't like the fact that I had an opinion at all.
They started a website trying to advocate that the county take our kids away from us. They were claiming that because we're raising them in a Christian household, that it is child abuse to teach them biblical teaching on morality. How do you respond to that?
Sarah testified before the legislature in Maryland about marriage, and that marriage should be between a man and a woman, and that kids should have a mom and a dad. And as a result, the homosexual community just began to unleash unbelievably vicious attacks on her, even death threats to a 14-year-old girl, simply because she said that kids should have a mom and a dad. Very troubling when you consider freedom of speech, freedom of expression today only applies to those who walk within the lines of political correctness.
Number one accusation against my daughter is that she's a bigot, that she has somehow decided she's going to hate this entire group of people for some reason. You look at her testimony, there was nothing there, no condemnation, no judgment whatsoever.
Yeah, I testified because I just love my family, and like I said in my testimony, I just want everyone to have a mom and a dad and have such a happy life that I've had and well-rounded and everything.
Without question, what you see happening is every time someone stands up to speak, they are targeted, they're marginalized, they're demonized, and they're threatened, and it's all designed to silence them.
If we allow ourselves to be chased out of the public square, then we will lose. There is no loss when you're a Christian if you're doing what's right. When we do the right thing, it will often result in persecution.
Sarah Crank is a young girl who gives me great hope for America. You know, we talk about how we've lost the younger generation. I don't find that to be the case in totality. What I've actually found is that we've got a generation of young people that are more committed to the truth than my generation ever hoped to be, because they've been tested by fire.
This whole experience has really changed me, and I kind of have gotten a little bit more confident in myself, you know. My opinion can be heard too, even though I'm just a 14-year-old girl. I can change things.
What a courageous young lady Sarah Crank is. Yet how far have we as a nation fallen when we're forced to approve lifestyles that God detests and might find ourselves on the receiving end of death threats just for standing up for the traditional biblical view?
It's absolutely essential that you understand the shift that's taken place in our society over the past few decades, and that you be able to stand up for unchanging truth graciously, respectfully, and effectively. That's why we've developed an outstanding new resource we want to share with you today. It's the new book, Why Aren't You Tolerant? Questions Christians Face. Have you ever been in a conversation with someone who accused you of being intolerant because of your Christianity, just wanting to impose your morality on everyone else? Why Aren't You Tolerant? Questions Christians Face takes on hard questions just like that and many others. And it's yours for a generous gift of any amount to the ongoing work of our ministry. Write to us at Box 6053, Albert Lea, Minnesota, 56007, or call toll-free 877-942-7677, or go online at truthinaction.org. It's vitally important that Christians be able to answer to often made charges like, Jesus didn't issue a judgment on homosexuality, so why do you? And what right do you have to impose your version of the truth on everyone else? This book will give you the tools to decisively address these objections and many more. Why Aren't You Tolerant? Questions Christians Face is yours for your generous gift of any amount when you write to us at Box 6053, Albert Lea, Minnesota, 56007, or call toll-free 877-942-7677.
God has placed you here for such a time as this. Don't miss this opportunity to become equipped to share God's truth with those around you. Thank you for joining us on today's program, and may God bless you and yours.
And may God bless America.
This has been a production of Truth in Action Ministries.